Welcome to Me Time, the podcast for women in midlife who've been taking care of everyone else and now say, it's my turn to take care of me. I'm Kim Aceto, health and self-care coach for women in midlife and your host. Thank you for spending your precious me time with me right now. Enjoy the show. Okay, so today I am here with Farah Furtado. So let me tell you about Farah. And just to let you know, I'm going to ask for her help to pronounce some of these words. Okay, so here we go. Let's start. L. Farah Furtado is a Canadian Portuguese, and an international yoga teacher, author of three spiritual best-selling award-winning books, award-winning filmmaker, world traveler, and founder of Kaohsiung Yoga School in Taiwan and Bend It Like Buddha Yoga in Portugal, where she is residing right now. She's lived in Asia for over 14 years, studying the healing arts in Buddhist monasteries in Taiwan, Balinese healing with energy healing masters in Ubud, and has trained in the traditional Ashtanga Vinyasa system and pranayama with BNS Iyengar, I think, the lineage of, and this is where I need Farah's help, go ahead, help me.
Abby Joyce?
Yes, and Krish in India.
Krishna.
Okay, great, great. So yeah, see, I'd have to practice that a million times before I got it right. So thank you. And then Farah, you're a third degree, some kind of Reiki master. How do you say that? You should?
Usui Reiki Master,
and you have I can do the rest here. You have a BA in psychology from the University of Victoria and international development certification from the University of British Columbia. So, Farah, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Kim. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, well, the first time we talked, you have a really great energy about you. You're just a joy to talk to. So I'm really happy to have you here on the podcast and I'm looking forward to our conversation. But before we begin, let me ask you the question I ask every first time guest, which is, what do you enjoy doing during your me time?
When I have time for me time, you know, like everybody, it's very challenging to find that time. And, it's something that we encourage our students to have at least 1 hour to 3 hours of me time a day.
Wow.
And so that's kind of a goal for all of us. And actually today by accident, I double booked myself for two appointments, this one and then also the workshop, the trauma workshop that I'm doing. And but I still managed to find time to go for a walk for an hour in nature. You know, I took off my shoes, I walked through the ocean shore, and it's just kind of a emptying out the mind and practicing being in the present moment and being one with nature. And it's important to me to be in nature as much as possible. And I encourage other people to do this as well, to spend as much time in nature as they can, because we've been a society of being addicted to our devices and a very technologically based society that we forget that we are a part of nature and we must connect to that part of ourselves, and that can be done by spending more time in nature. And definitely that's what I love doing, is spending as much time as I can, especially by the ocean where I live. And also a goal of mine is to go for 2 to 3 massages a month, and preferably I try to do one massage a week, and that helps release any tension, or it's practicing radical self-care, which is so important for our spiritual development.
Wow. Well, I mean, I know you're so busy. I mean, I you know, I just read your bio, and the fact that you still find time to do this. I mean, it's almost for us in wellness, this general, I mean, you're a yoga teacher and all of this, but, you know, just us being in wellness in general, it's almost like we have to, right? Because we have to be there for our clients and make sure we're present and make sure we're practicing what we preach. So I love that you ensure that you have time to do that every day, no matter how busy you are. That's great. Awesome. So Farah, let's talk about your story, okay? Because I think it's really interesting, and you've traveled all over the world and lived all over the world. So let's just, why don't you just tell us your story? Because you also have a book about it, right? Is the journey, the metamorphosis, the journey metamorphosis, is that about your story, or is that a little bit different? I mean, you don't have to get into the book, but if it ties to your story.
Yeah, the journey metamorphosis does get into my story of how I found yoga. And, you know, where I am today is so different from where I started. And I feel like I slayed a couple of dragons along the way, many dark nights of the soul, because I was diagnosed with depression and suicidal anxiety. I was diagnosed with arthritis at a really young age. I was only in my mid-30s, and also diagnosed with chronic asthma. And so, you know, those things were a blessing in disguise, because I, you know, I wouldn't even be talking with you today if it wasn't for all of those health issues. Because the thing that propelled me to start my yoga journey was that I could not breathe. The idea of using a puffer to breathe scared me so much. And being in pain in my body at such a young age terrified me. And the doctors, you know, they like to push these pills. Oh, no problem. Yeah, you'll get cured. Just take these. And it was against my belief system. And I really believed that I had the ability to heal myself. And I did a lot of research. And so I was inspired to sign up for a 200-hour yoga teacher training. I knew nothing about yoga. I just wanted to learn as much as I could about it because of the research about, you know, the science backing up that yoga can help cure things, and pranayama can cure things like asthma. So yeah, good thing that I lived in Asia at that time, where, you know, there's ashrams available, there's Buddhist monasteries available, and I completely enveloped myself in these ancient traditions and techniques, and I basically healed myself through what the monks taught me at Fogonsan Buddhist Monastery. They were able to teach me one-on-one, because at that time I was living in Taiwan, and so I didn't know Chinese yet. And so there was only a couple of monks that could speak English. And so they would set up these appointments with me, and they would teach me, and we would go so deep in the tradition of meditation and breathing and all these incredible exercises that I had faith in all of these practices, and everything disappeared. I have been pain-free, medicine-free for over 10 years now.
Wow.
So now I am the creative director of Benelay Buddha Studio here, and published, you know, some books, and I'm also a filmmaker, and I would never have been able to do any of those things if it wasn't for my challenges with my health. I'm here today speaking with you because of those dark nights of the soul.
Wow, that's incredible. So did you already have your psychology degree before you went on this journey?
Yes. So I already had my degree in psychology. Yeah, I had my background. I was always very interested in personal development, and helping people was a huge thing for me since I was a child. I always had that huge desire to help people. And so when I was in Asia, yeah, I just went much, much deeper with the health and wellness side of it, mm-hmm. of healing.
Mm-hmm. What drew you to Asia?
So I went to Taiwan in the year 2001.
Okay. And what did you go? What was the purpose of going there?
Oh, I see. Well, it was a combination of things. One, when I finished my degree, I found myself close to $40,000 in debt.
Right.
Like yeah. a lot of Canadians
sure.
after university. And so I was offered a job teaching English at a job fair. And so, yeah. And actually, I was applying to get into law school, and I was on my way to law school, taking that road. And it was a university counselor, a career counselor, that she kind of hinted with me, well, law school will always be there, but traveling to Taiwan, that's a once in a lifetime opportunity. And you should probably take that job in Taiwan and see how it goes. If you don't like it, then go back and do law school. Mm-hmm. And so I listened to her.
Wow. And I'm sure you're so glad that you did. I mean, look at this journey that you're on. I mean,
yes.
Yeah. I almost can't believe that. I mean, you're just so vibrant and bright and, happy. It's hard to believe that you had depression and you were suicidal and, you were on all these medications, and that yoga and breathing, mm-hmm. like the art of that, actually completely turned yeah. your health around and your life around. It's incredible.
And it's also a belief that I had the power to entering into the practice. So what my teachers were telling me, I didn't have any doubt. I didn't need to see the science behind it. I didn't need to know any statistics, or I didn't need them to explain every single analytical detail. I just fully became 110% student of theirs and studied everything that they said and did everything that they practiced. And I just had faith and I surrendered into what was going on. And one day waking up and going, oh, wow, all those things, or one by one, those things were disappearing out of my life. The mm-hmm. asthma disappeared, the depression, the feeling of hopelessness, that, that cloud that hangs over you day in, day out, all of a sudden, oh, wow, I actually feel very happy. Mm-hmm. And now when I feel that cloud, now I understand that it's more than likely I'm picking it up from someone around me, or because I am very sensitive. I can tune into different energies of people because of how far I've gone in with the practice, especially with pranayama and energy work that I did in Ubud and a little bit in Taiwan as well.
Right, right. So let's talk about respecting the hardships, because part of what I want to do on this podcast is I want to inspire women to, take a look at their own lives and make some changes based on hearing other people's changes, right? And that they can, and that it's possible. And so I'd like to bring people like you here because you have those stories and you've been through that journey. So let's shift a little bit into that. So let's talk about, something you shared with me before is respecting the hardships, and you just shared all the hardships that you've been through. Can you go a little deeper into what you mean by respect the hardships? And as you're talking, I invite people to think about their own hardships, all of us to think about our own hardships. And what does it mean to respect the hardships? Like to be glad that you had them.
Yeah. Thank you so much for asking me that. It's one of the main messages that I give our students at our yoga school is that having trust that your mess is your message, but if you're not understanding or if you're in it so deeply, to have trust that one day you will understand why that mess was there to begin with. And something, you know, more that we go into is how to embrace these challenges that pop up into our lives, because it's impossible to be born without challenge or without hardship. The human condition is set up for suffering. And so we all have that, and we're all connected through that, right? So at our school, we encourage, especially women, because the majority of our students are women, to not hide that aspect or that hardship, to embrace it and to lean into it and to trust that those experiences are there to help us evolve into better human beings. And, you know, to completely shut out and to completely say no to playing the victim or blaming others for our hardships, rather to look into oneself when we're presented with these hardships and to see, is there something that I can be grateful for here? And to be compassionate, more compassionate, and also teaching our students about how to softening the heart and to show vulnerability when things like this happen, you know, asking for help. And I'll give you an example of how we do this. Last month, we had an online challenge where students had to share their dark night of the soul. This was online, and how they overcame that challenge and applied it to their yoga practice or what they're teaching their students. And it was incredible seeing people. We have a private Facebook group. And so these women, we have 160 people in the group now. And these women doing live Facebook, explaining their dark night of the soul and how they overcame it, how they overcame the challenge. And now how does it apply to their daily life? And why does that make them a better human being? And why does that make them a better teacher? It could be to their kids, doesn't necessarily have to be to their yoga students, you know. It was so inspiring to see how incredible this vulnerability is and to see how incredible it is to use that, you know. It's changing it. It's changing the perspective into a superpower, because it's a tool to connect deeply into our future students or future connections with others, our future opportunities, experiences, and we're connecting with each other through embracing and leaning into what's going on, you know, and loving the mess. We all have this. No one is perfect. And it's really encouraging our students to embrace their imperfections and not being scared or not hiding behind the imperfections, to show up as you are and to have that trust that you are perfect, whole, and complete in this very moment where you are right now.
Wow, there's so much there. That's amazing what you were able to help them with and what they were able to share. And what I found, you know, just in my community and my clients and just friends or colleagues or whatever, is we have to have that safe space where we feel like we can be vulnerable. Because, you know, you talk about vulnerability, you talk about softening the heart. And those things are hard to do when we don't feel safe. And I can see how you offer a safe space for people to do that. So that's really incredible. Let's talk now about, you know, the body. You talk about, you know, the body being the first place of exploration. And nobody listening is probably very surprised that that the body is kind of the first place that you would go to for exploration. And we're talking about, you know, working through the hardships, you know, making your mess your message, right? Turning your life around. So why start with the body with all these things? Especially, this is interesting because your degree is in psychology, which is the mind, right? I know they're connected, but let's talk about why you suggest starting with the body. Why is the body a good place to start?
I'm really happy that you asked this. Not very many people, or it's kind of pushed to the side, this topic. And the reason why we start in the body is because this is the incision point where trauma begins. And it's our visceral experiences. The body is where the visceral experiences are stored, and they need to come out. These really dense traumatic experience or emotions are stored in the body, and they need to come out. They need to be expressed in a safe way. And so through yoga, through the body, this is where we begin the exploration, or, you know, the self-discovery, or getting to know oneself, getting to truly know oneself. I believe one needs to start with the body first, because as we talked about before, humanness is a traumatic experience. Think about the trauma that happens when we are born into this world. It's like so messy, and so much trauma is there, even for the baby, you know, even though, you know, quote unquote, might not know what's going on, but it is traumatic for them. And so through the body, we release that, that emotion. Emotion is energy in motion. And through this tradition of yoga, we've come to this understanding that the emotions must be expressed. Otherwise, they become blockages and knots. They're called granthis in Sanskrit. Sanskrit is one of the oldest languages on earth. It's also known as the yogic language. And when we hold emotion, it gets stored up like little tents, like little tight knots of energy inside of the body. If it is not dealt with, it will be manifested as an illness, or some kind of block in our life will occur. So these blockages of energy are released through yoga postures. And sometimes, and it's very common for beginner students to not be able to start on their mat and do yoga. So for those people, I recommend releasing tension or releasing energy or releasing emotions, trauma that we've forgotten about. We don't even know that it's there, through dynamic meditation. So dancing, listening to drumming music, going for mindfulness walks to release the tension. So it makes me incredibly sad when I hear people say, oh, I can't do yoga because I can't sit still. Well, another way of looking at it is perhaps there's so much tension in the body and so much emotion that's trapped in the body that it's like a torture chamber being on your mat in stillness. Therefore, those people, they need to do other forms of dynamic meditation, such as the drumming or the dancing and the movement, the shaking, going for power walks, and be more into a mindfulness state of mind when they are doing these dynamic meditations and movement, if that makes sense.
That's really interesting. I've never heard of that, but that makes a lot of sense. I think a lot of women listening can relate to that, you know, the hard time staying still and why that might be and how you don't have to force that. And that's one thing in yoga, right? I mean, I've done a little bit of yoga, like going to yoga class, never did any training or anything like that. But one thing is just like not forcing things to happen, right? Like letting things happen as they happen when they're going to happen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So yes. Farah, before we run out, I mean, there's so much more we could talk about, but before we run out of time, I want to make sure we leave the ladies listening with some information about visual meditation, which was very transformational for you. What is visual meditation? How does it work? And how can women listening use it to help them now begin this journey?
Sure. A visual meditation that I often use and teach my students, and it's the first, one of the first meditations that I saw pretty quick results, and that is called Yoga Nidra meditation. In Yoga Nidra meditation, the practitioner or the person practicing thinks of an intention. So they plant the seed of what they want to manifest in their life or their heart's desire. They plant the seed of that intention during the part of the meditation where you are not asleep and you are not fully awake. It's that beautiful, fertile space between waking and not. And in that fertile space is the perfect place to put our seeds of intention, because in that fertile space of the mind, there is no fear. There's no analytical mind of how am I going to do this? No, doubts are there. And it's a very effective way of manifesting the things that we desire. One of the things that I was working with when I was playing with or exploring Yoga Nidra meditation is at that time, I felt that I had no talent and no gifts. And I planted the seed of intention. I said, I want to discover my hidden talents. And so I would do the Yoga Nidra meditation sometimes every day, sometimes three times a week. And I did this for about 3 months, but I quickly saw results and quickly saw things changing in my life. And I think it was like near that time when all of a sudden I kind of again realized, oh, wow, okay, I have many gifts to explore here. And today I have trust that I have many other hidden talents that have yet to come out that I'm unaware of at this point, but I love life and I love discovering, and I'm really excited to explore what other hidden gifts are there. And I encourage your listeners, if you want to manifest something and you're not sure where to begin or what to do, they can check out my Yoga Nidra meditation. I've recorded several Yoga Nidra meditations, and they're for free up on YouTube.
Awesome. And I'm going to put the links to those. I think, Farah, you got to send me those. Yeah. So we have your website. We're going to put that in the show notes. You are in Portugal. So you are the farthest guest I have interviewed so far.
Ooh, exciting.
Which is cool. Yeah. So it's morning here. It's afternoon there. And you have services online also, if people are interested in that. You have free monthly challenges. You have a 5-day fasting and breath work challenge as well. So I'm going to put all of that in the show notes. So listeners, if you're interested in beginning this journey, even just taking the first step to see if it resonates with you, go for it. Give it a try. I mean, that's why I wanted to bring Farah on here to encourage us to have an open mind and to think about things differently and not have to necessarily, I mean, that's why I'm so inspired by your story, Farah, is that because, you know, we can try to get through things through sheer brute force, you know, just try to figure things out and all of that and not address the hardships, but your message of respecting the hardships, making your mess your message, and all of the healing and transformation that you've undergone through yoga and breath work and meditation is just amazing. So listeners, if you heard about all these things and you're interested in giving it a shot. You've tried other things, maybe you've been on all the medications like Farah has, then maybe this is the time. So any final thoughts, Farah, before we sign off?
Just for people to remember to practice mindfulness, be in the present moment, and spend time in nature as much as they can. And awesome. I want to thank you, Kim, for providing this beautiful opportunity for me to be on your podcast and with all of your lovely listeners.
If you find the Me Time Midlife podcast valuable, there are many ways you can support it. The best way is to simply tell your midlife friends about it. It also helps the show's visibility if you rate and review it on iTunes, Stitcher, or simply directly in your Apple Podcasts app if you listen to the show that way. And if you want more me time in your life and continue the conversations we have on the show with other women on a similar journey, consider joining our Me Time Midlife community on Facebook. Simply search for Me Time Midlife Community in your Facebook search bar, or go to metimemidlifepodcast.com to learn more. Thank you again for listening. And until next time, remember, you've been taking care of everyone else. It's your turn to take care of you.